IMRO's 2023 Best Local or Regional News Programme. The Voice of the Northwest, the 9 till noon show with Greg Hughes.
Welcome back to the programme. Coming up shortly, we have Your Voice, Your Community. A little later on, we're going to be talking history with Dr. Joe That and so much more besides. Thank you for all of your texts coming in so far this morning. Getting to some of those now. Maybe in the essence of inclusivity, it should be mentioned that everything being talked about happens to men and women. Discrimination and abuse is not limited to women. Men can feel just as threatened. That's the point I was somewhat making to our guests, in that I just wonder if, whilst I fully understand the recommendations, if it just might be disadvantageous, either consciously or subconsciously. But that's the debate. That's what makes life interesting. There was a sand shower yesterday in the Ballymofay Killygordon area. We could see the sand on the cars this morning. Has anyone else noticed this? Where did it come from? We can try and dig around and find out. We'll get in contact maybe with Alan from Carlow Weather to see, is there something happening particularly meteorological that's causing that. But if you had witnessed this sand shower, let us know. 086 60 25000. Why do we have ads for women with their trousers around their ankles sitting on the toilet advertising women's incontinence? We never see men with little clothing or their trousers down. Women are scantily clad and we need to be aware that children are around. I'm not going to comment on that. I know the ads that you're talking of. I never found them really offensive, but I know where you're coming from. Do you have a view on that? Let us know. Father Crossan, well, he's not a father anymore. Eamon Crossan got 5 years for sexual abuse. He wasted the children's whole life. They got a lifetime sentence and he only got 5 years. A caller believes that is ridiculous. A few years back, communion's families all gathered in the community hall and had a three-course meal in the community centre so that everyone was seen as equal. There was entertainment at it too. It was low cost for families and everyone was the same. I do entertainment at communions and it's unreal how much money and work goes into it. I'm not sure if it's communions or confirmations or both, or dependent on where you are. Ones I've attended recently, in recent years, the children were in their school uniforms and then it's up to them afterwards if they go and do an event at the weekend or that evening. You know, they dress into their fancy clothes there. So in the moment, it's all equal. But as I say, I'm not sure if that's communions or confirmations or if it's across the board. It's so sad and worrying what women have to put up with. Again, you know, lived experiences, if you are prepared to share, and I know it might be uncomfortable to do so, it might be helpful in helping those who don't understand what's going on, what is going on. I just want to let people know there's also an organisation called Grow for people suffering from mental health. It's on once a week. It's in Buncrana, and it is amazing. That comes in from listener Maria. Hi, just listening regarding Pieta's Darkness Into Light. I myself lost my son to suicide and never done Darkness Into Light, as I find it would be very difficult and painful to attend, just to highlight that side of it. Well, that's something I did actually reference a little earlier on in the show. It is difficult for some. I understand that. Everyone's journey is different, you know, and move at your own pace and do what works for you and don't feel that you have to conform. Everybody's an individual and will deal with things their own way. A caller says, Pieta are a great organisation, but I don't agree with the CEO getting huge salaries. It's ridiculous. This money could be used to help people. Well, a lot of people get paid within Pieta. I think the CEO's salary is €120,000. It's a big organisation. Look, I have my own views on this and they're irrelevant. What I will say is it is a big organisation. It is a charity, but it's run as a full-on counselling service. For that to be done successfully, and in a new era, you do need someone at the helm. You would love to think someone might do that for free, but that is someone that would potentially in another job be given up $150,000. That's the kind of salary people at the head of these companies and organisations get. So if you want an organisation that is run well and has a secured future, you do have to pay someone with expertise in that area. 120 grand's a lot of money. That's a lot of 26 euros, I get that. And I'm not batting for Pieta here or against Pieta. But that person, to expect them then to do it for free when they could get that salary in another job, also is something that has to be considered. It's up to people to think for themselves. As I say, I have my own feelings. It's what the public think. They can make up their own mind. Good morning, Greg. Talk about the wages paid to the top dogs in Pieta. It's sickening. I think it's about The top six salaries, €300,000 or €400,000. But again, as I say, the argument that's made, and I'm not making it before someone jumps on it, is that to have an organisation of its scale and run in the way it needs to be run, you have to pay people with the expertise in that area. As I say, that's not my view, that's what's stated. Back to a call we had right at the start of the show about someone. They got a leaflet through. They got a leaflet through the post for a candidate for the local elections, and they had a load of jobs. And this person concluded they wouldn't vote for them because they were too busy. But this caller says, "I think it's unfair to rule out a person who lists eight jobs. At least this person is saying I'm involved, I'm doing, and I'm getting things done. This list would actually encourage me to vote for them. Pay the councillors a proper wage for the job they do, and they won't have to do a day job and can devote their entire day to our representation. You know the saying, give a busy woman a job, it gets done. Give a busy man a job, nothing gets done." Ooh, okay. Didn't expect that in the. I didn't expect to see that in the end of the text. Now, I've seen this on social media. A skid ramp for a trailer was found on Loch Salt Road over the weekend. Now, this could be someone from that road's incredibly busy with lots of different traffic, local and otherwise. A skid ramp, if I'm not mistaken, it's long and silver with the holes in it, and it's used to go up and down off the back of a trailer. It was found on Loch Salt Road. Someone has it and they want to return it to its owner. So if you are missing a skid ramp and you went over Loch Salt, then please let us know. We'll pass you on to the person who has that. "Can you please give a big shout out to my daughter, Jamie Louise Gordon, who's organised Darkness into Light in Edinburgh. This is the first time it's taking place. Thank you." Well done, Louise. Jamie Louise, hopefully it's a huge success, and nice to hear that you're involved in that charity and that fundraiser over in Edinburgh. Okay, you're very welcome back to the 9 till noon show, and I'm joined on the programme now by Rose. Rose, good morning to you. Thank you so much for taking the call.
Yeah, good morning, Greg.
We were talking about Darkness into Light and the fundraising that's taking place this weekend right across the county, right across the region, Rose. And you've yourself done a lot of fundraising for Peterhouse for very personal reasons too.
Yeah. Well, I started off when my first brother died. I started off for Living Links and then went on into Peterhouse after I lost my other brother and my son.
Oh, my word. Oh, that's incredibly tough on you, Rose.
Yeah, we lost him. It was in 20 months.
Oh, my word. And you, with your experience that you went through, you said, right, I need to be doing something myself to help fundraise, to help keep these services going.
Yeah. When Joseph died, I was just going to celebrate my 50th birthday, and then I said, that's what I'm doing. I'm going to do a fundraiser. That was for Living Links. Mm-hmm. And then the following year, then Michael died, and then the following year, Enda died. So,
and you made some comment about people needing to want to help themselves. Can you talk to me a little bit more about that?
Yeah, they have to want. Yeah, they have to. Joseph did. He did self harm, like, but he was the best in the world.
Yeah,
and we knew he was going to die sometime, like, and then Michael was just out of the blue, and then Enda out of the blue. Like, I was talking to him that morning before he went to work. He was a chef in the Mulford Inn, the Mulroy Woods now.
Mm-hmm.
And not a bit of bother on him. And I got up and he was on his laptop. And as it cut me, my granddaughter was down, so I went back to bed. I said, make sure, like, you take your Weetabix, like, at 20 years of age, make sure you take your breakfast.
Yeah.
And he just jumped off the laptop, but I thought nothing of it. And then I got up later on, and as my granddaughter wanted me, and there was a note there thinking nothing of it, because he would normally take my car to work.
Mm-hmm.
And the note was just, sorry, Ma, for putting you through this again. I just don't like my life. And I just lost it.
My
I just ran
word.
Down to the barracks then.
The awful toll this has
taken. I've 13 years now and I still cry every day.
Of course you do. Of course you do. And how do you...
I'm
how,
so much.
Of course. And you can... I mean, you know, we try and come to terms with things. It's going to be very difficult for you to come to terms with this type of loss and the way it happened for you, Rose.
Yeah. It's just, if they would talk, but as I said, like, they need to want to help. And just whatever pain he was in, he just didn't want any help.
Mm.
And he knew I was going to be heartbroken, like. But I'm not angry at any of the boys. It's they wanted us, and that's it. Like, I'm not angry whatsoever. But there are people that are the lucky ones that seek help. Like, they are lucky.
Yeah.
And for their families and all, like.
Yeah, and we'd encourage everyone.
But
I mean, there's always hope, and I know that
yeah.
sometimes it can feel like, you know, the person has made the decision and they don't want to ring anyone, but we even want those people to ring, because talking it through.
Yeah, I mean, Enda could have come to me, like.
Yeah.
Yeah, he could have come to me, like, we were speaking, he came home late because from work, and I know he was saying his goodbyes to his workmates, like, and I chatted to him that night and not a bother on him, like. And my partner does civil defence, safe and rescue, and he has, like, been out looking for lots of people and has found people, like, and it just brings him to tears too. But he knows that's a closure, you know.
Yeah, he's got a very important role to play, hasn't he? Yeah, he really has. Okay.
But just seek help. It's there for you, like.
Mm. And Rose,
I'll go to wash my boy.
I mean, there's so many. There's always unanswered questions left, isn't there? And even if,
I mean, it doesn't say why he did it on the note, and I still haven't read it. It's still in the wardrobe. It just says that I'll be looked after by my partner and all the rest. Like,
He doesn't say why he did it. No. And is that would that make any difference to you if you knew?
I don't know. Well, I'm seeing that guy because I just keep thinking he drove up to his father's house, like, in Manor Cunningham. And, like, what was going through his head from the time he left Milford the whole way up to Manor, parked my car as neatly as you could, and went in and up the stairs, and that's it. Like. It's just... I think about that every day, like, what was in his mind?
But you will never know. Have you know, Rose...
Never.
Did you ever... Have you spoken to people about this for yourself, Rose?
I did. The first time that I got involved, as I said, was with Living Links.
Okay.
That's when I rang up when Joseph died, and then I went on from there. And I've made, like, friends with them, and I've made friends with Peter House when they're organising, you know, getting it up and going.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I wouldn't need to talk, but I don't know. Okay. That would help.
And what about, well, it will help. You have to talk. But it's good to talk as well, because you're trying to carry everything yourself. It's an awful lot of pressure.
Yeah. But where I work too, people will see my chain of a photograph of Enda on me, like, and they'll say, what's that? And I just tell them everything about him. Like,
yeah, I know what you're saying.
I know complete strangers. If they see it, I'll chat to them about him.
I get you.
He's always talked about him today.
And would you go out on a walk? Is it for you, or do you do things differently?
Oh, yeah. I have a T-shirt with their three photographs on it.
Okay, right. And you get a lot from that, do you? Does it help you?
You get to speak to complete strangers, like, and it does amazing,
I think that's kind of your therapy, isn't it? Chatting and remembering people through the memories and talking through the experience.
Yeah, because it's happening every day, like.
Yeah. But
and it's just so sad.
Yeah, you've had to live with more than anyone really should ever have to, Rose. And you're obviously clearly a really strong woman. Okay, so you're saying these services are vital; they're life saving. We need to maintain them, but we need to make sure that people in pain or suffering contact them as well too. That's just vital, isn't it? But I think you've kind of concluded in your head that maybe everyone's arm can't be twisted, but we have to keep trying.
Yeah, of course, yeah. I just wished then I had just spoke to me and
But that's out of your control, Rose. You know, you just have to move. You can't control that. That was just a decision that was made, and nothing you can do will ever change that. You know, you've done everything that you could, and you were there. So there's not much else you could do, I would say. Okay, Rose, well, listen, thanks for helping us to talk about the importance of these charities and the importance of getting in touch with them. And I'm sorry for everything that you've gone through, and continue to your talking and spreading the word. And it's very important too as well.
Thanks very much, Greg.
Okay, Rose, take care of yourself. All right, okay. That's Rose there. Terribly sad story. Okay, we're going to be joined by our next guest, but we're going to take a quick break. Right, on this week's Your Voice, Your Community, in association with Commissioner Mann and funded by the TV licence fee, we discuss Lifestart Donegal, who recently celebrated 25 years in operation. This morning we talked to Mary Walker-Callaghan, Regional Manager of Lifestart Services, Donegal. Good morning, Mary.
Good morning, Greg.
Thanks so much for joining us.
Thank you.
And also with us is Patricia McLaughlin, manager of the Donegal County Childcare Committee and member of the Lifestart Donegal Board of Management. How are you getting on, Patricia, who's of the false impression she's not going to say much. I think it's quite hilarious, isn't it, Mary?
Very hilarious.
Okay, Lifestart, Mary, I will put this one to you. Talk to me about the organisation. What does it do?
Well, I suppose Lifestart in Ireland has been in operation for about 37 years. And in Donegal, we set up in Newton Cunningham 25 years ago on the 1st of March. Lifestart is a child development home visiting programme. We also deliver parent education, parent courses, and we provide parenting and family support to families that may have some identified needs.
Yeah, and from what age might you sort of be helping people?
Well, at the moment, the cohort we would be working with would be from pre-birth to 5 years of age, but we're actually extending that now up to 12 years of age.
Yeah.
So, because there is a lot of need, particularly since COVID. And we're taking on a new project with TUSLA, which will require us to work up until 12 years of age.
And who engages, if you know what I mean? I mean, there's a strong argument to say, you know, there's lots of us don't have a family structure necessarily around us. Mm-hmm. There's no training courses or lessons for becoming a parent. And every child's different and we're all different as well. Mm-hmm. I mean, so really, probably most of us could benefit from this. But how do people sort of begin to engage with your services or how are they signposted to you?
Well, at the moment, everybody that comes to the service is referred from other services in the community that work with children and families. So it could be from TUSLA, it could be from the public health nurses, it could be just from other services out there working with parents and children. Ideally, what we would like to see is that all first-time parents in the county would be referred into the service. Because you're right, Greg, it doesn't matter who you are or what you are, everybody needs support around parenting. You know, so it's just getting in and getting some of those key messages across the parents at the very beginning, and supporting them just around the simple things and to reassure them that they're doing it right. You know, parents worry with the little things. Am I feeding them too much? Am I feeding them too little? You know, so it's just to give them reassurance around all those basic needs.
And in the absence of that and maybe some support structure, Patricia, you know, often, and we've all done it, the first place you go is the internet, right?
Mm-hmm.
And the internet is always a pathway to the worst case scenario, as best we try otherwise. So it's great to be able to have this sort of in-person expertise.
But I think the biggest feature, and we often overlook it with Lifestart, is the relationship that exists between the family visitor who goes onto the family home. So it's a monthly programme, and the family visitor goes into that family home from birth, and they provide that support, so you always have somebody to ask the questions to. So no matter how minor they are, you have that relationship, and you can all, it forms, and then when the difficult situations arrives, and Mary's right about, and you're there yourself, Craig, like, toilet training's the biggest thing in the world when they're at that age.
I have a story about toilet training at the moment.
But it's huge. Yeah.
Hudson's potty train now, is very good. But I don't know where he got it from, but I have my suspicions. He prefers the back door.
Yeah.
Right? Okay, so...
I have my suspicions too now.
No, but it's funny because in the first couple of times it's kind of cute, but you can't... He's not using a nappy, right? So he's doing something fantastic, right?
He's doing,
The neighbours... We have to consider them as well. So it is. It's like, well, how do you transition him? It's not as not an issue, but it's not. But it's something like that. There, right? So you're doing fantastic. But we need you to do it somewhere else now.
But I think parents put themselves under so much pressure for something like toilet training. So you're under so much pressure. You have granny telling you, oh, they're ready. You know, nobody knows they're ready but that child.
Yeah.
So you have this family visitor coming out to you and saying to you, actually, just leave her. Leave her for another. Like, with my first child, it took me 6 weeks. She should never have been toilet trained. And I worked in LifeStart.
Yeah. Yeah.
But I was under so much pressure from other people.
Yeah, yeah. Mm-hmm.
That I did try. And like I swore that my second child would be 7 before I started.
Yes.
She magically did it herself, thank God.
But they do, don't they? But yes. It's that little bit of knowledge to give you. Because all you're actually doing is say, give yourself a break.
Yes. Mm-hmm.
Don't put yourself under pressure.
And it's lovely having
people,
that family.
And history. I get it, right? But there are people book 5 days annual leave off to do it.
Absolutely. Yeah.
Yeah. And that might work for them. I'm not criticising them in any way, shape or form.
Yeah.
But, everyone does things differently.
But they're under pressure with the preschools as well now, because a lot of the preschools don't have the facilities to allow them to start preschool without being toilet trained.
Yeah.
So
the
family visitors, it normalises parenting support as well for all the wee things that we think are so minor. And when you pass by them and you look back and think, oh God, what was I worrying about that for?
And you think you know everything. Do you remember there was late last year where there was a big conversation about, was it sepsis?
Mm-hmm,
sepsis and throat infections and what have you, right?
Yeah.
And everyone was up to high dough, and rushing to the GB for antibiotics. And I get that you have to be careful, but even I was the same.
Yeah.
Even if you think you know it, and I've talked to lots of people and I've been reassured, but that panic sets in, doesn't it? And you just have to. So, Mary, I mean, some of the early visits, all right, so you'll get some during pregnancy, you're seeing your GP and stuff, right? And then there'll be a couple of visits afterwards from a public health nurse. I think that's general.
Yeah,
so where does sort of LifeStart sit with the public health nurse sort of a situation?
Yeah, well, we would get a lot of referrals from the public health nurses. About 60% of
referrals
come through the public health nurses. So, and I suppose the beauty of that as well in the relationship is that we are also the eyes and ears for the public health nurses. So if there's any issues arise for the parent, we can go back and inform the public health nurse if it's clinical and say, look, they need your support as well. So it's a good partnership. Our biggest problem at the moment is that the majority of our referrals come from the HSE, but we receive absolutely no funding from the HSE.
Okay. That is
a huge issue. Yeah. Like at the moment, we would be supporting the parents of over 550 children across
Amazing.
The county.
Okay.
We have a waiting list of over 200, which is far too high.
Yeah.
So we actually just need more feet on the ground.
Yeah.
The demand for the service is huge.
There is core funding in place, but obviously
there's core funding through TUSLA in place. Yeah.
Okay. But we do know TUSLA and the HSE can work together where both refer to an organisation.
Absolutely.
We've seen that with the REFO counselling services.
Absolutely.
I'm sure that's a model that could be employed for LifeStart. Why shouldn't it be?
Well, we would be hoping that something would come out of this, that they would actually co-fund the service, because the amount of support we provide to the HSE and to HSE practitioners is huge. And I think if you had the public health nurses in here with us, they would be saying we need this service on the ground, because what we don't want to do is become a completely targeted service where we're missing out on that universal element to first-time parents, because we all know early intervention is crucial. The earlier you get in, the bigger the positive impact for the family.
But also too, a lot of these comments sort of reflect many services, Patricia. If we were sitting here now and you two were saying, we've come up with a great idea, right? This is a service and we can do this, that and that. It would be a nightmare to get it off the ground and with all the infrastructures you have in place. This is something that is there. It's proven, Patricia, and it can do even more work and meet the referral demands just with more funding.
Oh, absolutely. And you need that universal. I think we've come down the road now where it's so targeted that we forget that every parent needs that support. And we need to normalise parenting support, because you need somebody to go back to when the crisis hits, even if it's only a minor crisis like toilet training.
Yeah.
But you do need that somebody to go back to, and you need to be linked in somewhere.
Yeah. And when we talk about things like, I'm not saying you give direct support, say, for instance, to breastfeeding, or maybe you do, I don't know.
Yeah, yeah.
But again, we've got incredibly low rates of breastfeeding.
Yeah, yeah.
And often people feel there isn't the support there or the number there. Now, I do know there are organisations out there, but there's more that can be done.
Yeah, there is always
like
more.
Yeah.
And I think another thing that's missing now, I know when I had my two children, I had excellent family support, from my immediate family. My mother travelled from Kerry for 6 weeks for both of my children. That family support isn't there anymore.
Yep.
We don't have the extended family like we used to have.
No, all those grandparents could be child-minding older grandchildren.
It's
the way it's got now. You could be even bloody living at home with them.
It is just that reassurance that you're actually doing okay. you know, and that the decisions you're making, it, like, it is, you're past this little person and you're solely responsible for this little person. It's quite intimidating and daunting, you know.
And do you know what else it can be? Very lonely.
Very lonely.
It can be really, really lonely. You're in the house. That's you maybe don't have that structure that can give you a couple hours away.
Yeah.
Child could be teething, screaming the house down. You don't know why, can't speak to you, and it's a lonely old place, isn't it? It
can absolutely be. You know, for some mothers, the only people they see is the postman.
Yeah.
Mm. If they're lucky, they see the postman, you know, so it is very isolating.
I suppose we should say as well that through Lifestart and with the Parent Support Champions, there's a group through Tuesday here funded in Donegal of Parent Support Champions, and we do a series of talks.
Yeah.
So we run about 5 talks every year. Weaning. Yeah. Sleep's huge.
Yeah, there was one last night on Connected Play.
Connected Play.
What's that? Is Connected Play?
It's just, you know, really identifying the importance of play for a child and making sure that it's an interaction and a stimulating process and that it's beneficial to everybody. Yeah. You know, but that play is so important to a child.
And how you and as to how you work with the child in developing speech, for an example, because you know we've got fantastic speak and language therapists across this county, right? But in the first instance, the first exercises they might do with a child can be replicated at home, or if we perhaps knew, you could start them a little earlier. You know,
But Lifestart does.
I'm not saying we don't need them, but you know,
we do.
Yeah, but you know, there's a lot of stuff that you didn't. Oh,
Lifestart
am I supposed to do that?
Yeah. Lifestart does it. So when you get the Lifestart program in your child's 16 months, you will get a brochure, like an 8-page. Beautiful booklet, which details what's expected of a typical child for the 17 months. Mm. So you're following that. There'll be some that they'll meet, some that they'll not meet, but it goes through the language development. It almost tells you how many words they should have month by month. Mm-hmm. So at every 6 months, then you're looking back to see, are they meeting these developmental milestones? But speech and language is a huge part of
it. And then we would encourage books from the day an hour a child is born. You know, I would say
you could have told
parents,
me this 3.5 years ago.
I would say to parents, read. It doesn't matter. What you read when you have a new baby in your arms, it can be the sports page, it can
not
be
the phone book.
Finance, it can
try
be the
find
phone
the phone book.
it's about how you read and you know how you use your voice, but you can read away and
those sponges
really
aren't they? They're
good
for
it
their
up.
Language,
you know, and listening to things like classical music is really important for speech development. The Irish language is amazing for speech development because every sound you need in every other language is in the Irish language. So
if people are listening here, maybe someone's, you know, 7 or 8 months pregnant, or maybe they've got a child that's a year old and they're they're saying, you know, these ladies are speaking to me here. Mm-hmm. Can you self-refer? I mean, you've talked about a waiting list, haven't you?
So, yes.
And I mean, I presume there's going to come a point if the HSE do not start seeing the value of this service that you're going to have to say, well you're overburdening us with
referrals
here.
We're actually at that stage
now
because the referral, you know, if to hold a waiting list of 200, there's too much risk involved in that.
I get you.
So what we're trying to do at the moment is develop online programmes, but we will have to reduce our numbers. Mm. Also for our staff team, we have a duty of care to our staff team. Their caseloads are incredibly high.
And
so
complex.
We need to, and complex.
And
so
I presume too, there's a slight potential here, and correct me if I'm wrong here, that from the HSE's record keeping, someone has been referred, that's a box ticked.
Yeah. Yeah.
And then it's over to you guys, and it's not your fault, but they're sitting.
Yeah.
So, in other words, for nothing, the HSE has done what it's done.
Yeah.
But they need to actually be able to facilitate you to move those referrals forward with funding. And, you know, so. Yeah. It won't tell the full story from a HSE perspective.
No,
that's why we need to get it out there and discuss it, I think.
You know, and you know, you can develop all the online programs you want, but for some people it doesn't work. You need to be in the home.
Yeah.
You need to be able to build that relationship with someone. It's really important. And in a lot of cases, you'll go out to a family who are referred in as universal. They just need some support around their new child, but they're in crisis themselves because of anxiety, because of worry, just
self-doubt.
Self-doubt, and they just
self-worth.
Need that. Yeah, and you won't see that online. You'll only see that if you actually go out and meet with the parent and talk to them.
So we're in a bit of a funny situation here in that I would feel like saying that, you know, if back to the question about if someone, they can't self-refer, but say the public health nurse is back and they say, look, I could do with a little bit of extra sport, or I heard Lifestart and Highland, can I access that? That effectively is a HSE referral though, isn't it? So
it is.
What do we do in that situation?
Now, we do, if a parent feels that they're in crisis out there, we would say to them, contact us.
Yeah.
And we will try to do our very best to provide you with some supports. You know, so I would never tell a parent just, you know, if they're in crisis and they're, or they're very, very worried, we won't be putting them on a wait list. We will try to deal with their issues.
I suppose the problem is that parent that's able to reach out that's in crisis is probably not the parent who is really in crisis.
Yeah. And of course, too, you know, early intervention is key. You with your, you know, childcare hat on, Patricia, you know, you can see, I'm sure you can see the advantages of a child that had these supports, the parents that had these supports, the parent, versus those that didn't.
I can see it in my own children.
Yeah.
Oh, there you go. Yeah. I was a previous manager of a Lifestart project down the country. So, just it's for the reassurance and the confidence building in the parent more than it is anything else. So the children are confident, the parent's confident, and the children are confident.
Yeah, of course. You know, we talked about children being sponges and they pick up, I know for myself, they pick up the positive stuff, but they can pick up
everything.
They pick up the other stuff as well, anxious parents and what have you.
Yeah.
Right, it is all about, money is actually people. So when we talk about funding, we're talking about people. And a listener says, can you ask Mary if there's any recruitment issues? So just to be absolutely clear, you would love to be recruiting, but you need the money for that. Yeah. Is it tough to get people if funding were forthcoming?
It is tough to get people. I suppose it's getting people with the right kind of experience, but also because we're a community and voluntary service, it's very hard for us to compete with statutory services when we come to salary. So that is an issue as well for us.
So are we at a point, and again, there's similarities with previous issues we've talked, are we at a point where that the whole funding model needs to be looked at then?
Yes.
Up to and including not just giving you what you need to do yours, but maybe even some responsibilities being taken over in different areas or whatever it might be, for this to be put on a different footing, to recognise what it's doing.
Yeah.
Because it's proven to be working, right? We're investing into the future, but it's not just simply necessarily... extra funding would be great, but could more be done?
I think so. Look, I think that when we look at the kind of referrals that are coming in, cases have got very complex, Greg. You know, particularly since COVID, we've seen a complete shift in the referrals, even from the public health
nurses. Talk to me about that. Like what?
A lot more needs for parent. We've a lot of mental health issues. We've a lot of anxiety. There has been an increase in alcohol use, additional needs, children with additional needs, particularly around sensory and around, you know, autism and issues like that.
Domestic
violence.
Do we know why we're seeing more of that?
I don't know, does it come out of COVID because people were locked down for so long, but we've definitely
So in other words, it's possible that maybe we're seeing a lag in people coming forward from that. That could be it.
Numbers have definitely increased though in terms of diagnosis. And for parents waiting on that diagnosis, it's a very anxious time because there's nothing worse than hearing that and then what the expectation of what's going to happen and then maybe nothing happens.
And unfortunately there's two tracks. Some can afford to go down the private route and others simply... Yeah.
And we're very involved in MEHL as well, so we support a lot of families across the county in terms of the mental health process.
And I mean, Trish was talking about the talks there that the parent support champions do. One of those talks that we provide for that is for parents what to do while they're waiting for a diagnosis. Yes. Because there's things that parents can do themselves to help their child, but they don't know unless they get that kind of direction. Yeah.
And you were talking there of the complexity of cases, you know, as you've been going out and you were going on to, well, firstly, you mentioned, you know, if there's alcohol abuse, but domestic violence, that becomes incredibly complex.
It does. And I suppose, look, we're very fortunate in Donegal because there's some absolutely brilliant services in the county and we all work very closely together, which is really important. But, you know, I just know across the whole realm of family support, the needs and the complexities of cases have increased for everybody on the ground. And, you know, we need extra feet on the ground, but so does every other service out there, you know.
So if people want to I just want to be clear what's available and what isn't available, mm-hmm. right? So you're dealing with 550 children mm-hmm. and their families. Mm-hmm. There's a wait list of 200 plus. Mm-hmm. It's great to talk about what's available. Is it available, though? You know, you've talked about being able to help people in special situations mm-hmm. or particular situations or complex situations. But really, until such time as the funding's looked at and the yeah. resourcing's looked at, your caseload is full.
It's full,
which is kind of frustrating, isn't it?
It is very frustrating.
We're talking about something that's really excellent.
Now,
here.
As I mentioned earlier, what we're trying to do at the moment is have an online program that people can come in and they can ask questions, but it would be in a group setting. So, you know, it suits some people, it won't suit everybody, but it's trying to alleviate some of the concerns that are out there. But we definitely have to reduce our numbers.
And that'll be fabulous for the universal parent, but for the parent who's vulnerable.
Yeah,
it's going to be very difficult for them to engage in an online setting.
You know, when you're looking at parents, Greg, that are really vulnerable, we would actually have to go with them to go into parent and toddler groups mm-hmm. or into mm-hmm. creches or into schools. They just wouldn't be in a place where they'd be able to do that on their own without support.
Yeah, I guess.
So they're not going to come onto an online program and discuss. No, and they may not have the IT equipment to be able to do that either, or broadband or anything.
We talked too about, and there's so many different people are affected in different ways, but they say those without the family structure. Of course, the population mm-hmm. of Ireland, Donegal, has grown mm-hmm. drastically over the last couple of years, you know, close on 10,000. Mm-hmm. Some of them are going to be parents or new parents or what mm-hmm. have you. There might mm-hmm. even be language issues. Has that been a challenge, Patricia or Mary?
Yes, it is a challenge. I suppose the language barriers, we would support a lot of families that are here under international protection and some of the Ukrainian families. You know, Google Translate, all the staff would use, because it's very difficult to get interpreters and that, you know. So you still have to try and work with these families. Now, we're lucky that our programme, it was adapted some years ago to a kind of a literacy version that would be easier for parents mm-hmm. to follow. So it's ideally suited for parents with language barriers, you know.
And you can break it down, so you don't have to deliver the whole programme in one go.
Yeah.
No.
So you can take the elements that are important at that time and deliver it weekly.
That's right.
It's very strengths. You're looking at where the parents at,
and the whole idea, isn't it, is that you engage as long as you need to, and then step back when people have built their confidence, their expertise.
Absolutely.
Okay. So 25 years in the bag. Here's to another 25. Mary, what's wrong? Were you there for the very beginning?
I'm just thinking when I arrived on the 1st of March 99, I didn't think I'd be here. It was a fast 25 years, Greg, I'll tell you.
Isn't it always fast?
it just flew by. But you know, it is a great service. When I started working in this line of work, I was working with young offenders and with youth. And when I came to Donegal, or back to Donegal, to work with Livestart, it just made sense. Getting in with parents before their children are born makes sense. Mm-hmm. And support them at the very start, you know, because I've yet to meet a parent that doesn't want the best for their child. Yeah. Every parent wants the best, and some need a little bit more support than others.
They do, of course.
I think every parent needs support.
But also what we need to do, the penny needs to eventually drop, that if we spend a little now, right, we save it. Firstly, we give people the best chance, mm-hmm. right? We have the best chance of support and parents, but for the children particularly. But look at what it may spot or identify early.
Absolutely.
Or avoid down the line. You know, so we need to spend a little now and save a fortune into the future. I just don't, especially when we're mm-hmm. talking about being such a wealthy country, we've got 8 billion spare, apparently.
Absolutely.
You know?
And like one of the things that parents
That's why I
find,
can't swallow that we're a rich country, because right? If we were a rich country, you wouldn't be having your collection bucket in your hand going to the
That's
HSE
right.
saying, you're referring That's to right. us, any chance of a bit of money.
Yeah.
You
know. Yeah.
Okay, but anyway. All right, anything you just want to finish on in terms of Livestart?
No, just to say, look, it is a really valuable programme. We have seen such success over the past 25 years that with the proper supports, there's so much more work that we could do and provide for families. Mm-hmm. And, you know, getting in early and supporting parents to find solutions to the easiest of problems, mm-hmm. that's what makes a difference, rather than letting something escalate until it becomes a real big problem.
Cole says, how do you prioritise the need for services from families who've been referred from other services and are on waiting lists?
Well, I suppose we're funded through TUSLA. So any referrals that come in from Tuzla are nearly always child protection cases. Mm-hmm. So we need to prioritise those because the need is very high. And that is unfortunate. It's not the way I like to work.
It's the funding model.
Mm-hmm. And unfortunately, you know, for me, one of my biggest issues is around the loss of early intervention and prevention. Mm-hmm. We need to be in early. Yeah, yeah. And that's where I would call on the HSE to step up and support that model.
Yeah, Carla says, I can't talk highly enough about how beneficial we found LifeStart as a family, an amazing resource, especially for first-time parents. And as well, if you are the first in your circle to have a baby and have not got others to turn to for advice, mm-hmm. they are a fountain of knowledge, which I think we've
lovely,
touched on
that's
that
lovely.
A lot over
yeah.
the course
but
of
sometimes that fountain of knowledge that's yeah. not a professional service like LifeStart yeah. is not valuable either. Do you yeah, know, yeah. when you have a lot of people telling you how to yeah, be a parent, yeah. it's very difficult to be
I
a parent.
Yeah. yeah.
And I will say, look, I have an absolutely excellent team on the ground. They are a wonderful bunch of practitioners. They're not in it for the money.
They wouldn't want to be,
you know. But they believe so strongly in what they do, you
yes.
know. And we had two at our 25th anniversary. We had two practitioners. One retired in March after 20 years, and one is going to leave us in July after 25 years. You know, that is a massive amount of experience.
But we shouldn't be exploiting care and devotion.
No.
We should be rewarding it.
Absolutely. Yeah. Absolutely.
Okay, because life's tough for everyone.
Yes,
great.
And you have to be able to pay the bills and all. Okay, fascinating conversation. Patricia McLaughlin, manager of the Donegal County Childcare Committee and member, of course, of the LifeStart Donegal Board of Management. Thank you.
You're welcome, thank you.
I should call you Eileen, though, because you've been leaning away from me all
I'm sorry.
All morning.
Just to relax, that's all it is.
I put aftershave on and everything. Maybe that's the problem. And also Mary Walker Callaghan. It'll be some crack if we do the 50th together, wouldn't
it? Oh, I'll tell you. I don't think I'll be around for the 50th somehow.
I'm worried.
We should take a before and after picture of the two.
Exactly. I think that's what I'm thinking as well.
Exactly.
Okay, well, whoever's doing it, good luck to them, huh, Mary?
Yeah.
Mary Walker Callaghan, Regional Manager of LifeStart Services in Donegal as well. Thank you. Just one actually final question. This is national organisation, right?
Mm-hmm.
Are the funding models the same right across the country?
Sporadic. Yeah, they're quite different and sporadic.
Are some funded by HSC and Tuzla in partnership?
Minor. So I would have been the manager in Sligo, Leitrim, and Roscommon, and we would have got a small pot of funding from the HSC out of the Director of Public Health Nursing.
Okay,
fund.
So it's ad hoc then at this
ad
time?
Ad hoc,
it's not, right.
yeah.
Okay.
yeah.
And was that beneficial though?
Oh, absolutely, because our 90% of our referrals would have come from Public Health Nursing.
Right.
Yeah. So and I suppose nationally the government are looking at a national model for home visiting, and we would be part of the Home Visiting Alliance. So there's actually five home visiting programs of which LifeStart is one in the country. So we're looking at ways of upscaling those services throughout the country.
But wouldn't it be lovely if some of our wonderfully influential politicians heard this and I don't care if it's to get votes, do it for whatever reason you like, and said, I was listening to this conversation with Mary and Patricia and I'm contacting the HSE with a view to trying
absolutely.
To sort out some funding.
And
wouldn't
we would
it be,
call on all of our politicians to support us on this.
And I will scream that from the rooftops on the radio show as well if they do, because we celebrate positives as well as highlighting where there are deficiencies
absolutely.
As well. So, hey, if you just want to raise this in the Dáil or with the relevant minister, Mary and Patricia won't say no. But for now, Mary Walker, Patricia McLaughlin, both of you, thank you so very,
thank
very
you.
Much.
That's lovely. Thank you very much, Greg. It's been great talking to you.
That was Your Voice, Your Community for this Thursday. It's in association with Commissioner Mann. And our focus was LifeStart Donegal. 25 years up and running now.